Welcome everybody to episode 2 of the new Golden Arrow series, looking back at the history of the BDO World Championship. And today my guest is 2001 BDO World Champion John Walton. How are you, John?
I'm fine, thank you. Keeping safe, I hope everybody else is.
Yeah, it's you know, as long as you stay indoors and abide by the rules, you should be all right at the moment.
Well, I'm actually working at the co-op at the moment, so I go and do a little bit on the front line sort of thing.
I suppose that's helping you to, you know, keep busy and get out a little bit as well.
Yeah. I get out of the house. Otherwise, wife would kill me.
And recently in the evenings, you were playing in the first edition of the Remote Darts League. How did the call to get involved with that come about?
It was a call out of the blue from Mr. Wayne Stanley. They just gave me a bell and said, would you be interested? I said, well, the shoulder's actually playing up. I said, but I'll give it a go, mate. So he said, yeah, but hence the results and that. I loved every minute of it. You know, playing with people that I've known for umpteen years, and you know, we're playing against each other and having a laugh and a joke, and it was nice to catch up with everybody.
And what was the adjustment like playing much later in the evening than you would have been used to?
Well, actually, we were only a little bit later than we normally play if we go out to the pub. You know, we start up at 8 o'clock in the evening at pubs, so it was just like playing a normal public game sort of thing for time wise.
You first qualified for a world championship back in 1999, but when was it?
Remind me of that.
But when was it that you actually started playing darts?
Actually started playing darts. I was 9 years old.
Wow.
My dad used to play, but he hated bingo. And we grew up in a club society then. There were my mum and dad and me and my sister. My dad hated bingo. So every time the bingo came on, me and him used to go into the back room and play darts. So, yeah, I've grown up in a club sort of environment, and I've always been on a dartboard.
Did you enjoy it straight away, or did it take a while for you to fall in love with the sport?
I enjoyed it straight away. I loved it. Loved it straight away. Like I say, my dad, it was spending time with my dad as well. So that's what made it for me. You know, I had my uncles, and like I say, I've been playing since I was 9 year old. At 15 year old, the team captain was watching me, and he says, my dad turned around and he said, well, he gets bored so easily, you know, just playing me. He said, right, next week I'll bring the team in. And he brought the team in, and I beat every single one of them. He said, when he's 18, I want him in my squad. So, yeah.
And then, you know, when you qualified for the 99 World Championship, you played Roland Scholten and lost 3-0. What are your memories of that tournament and that game?
I was 2-0 up in every set. And I lost 3-2. It really, really hurt. But I was so chuffed of qualifying for the Worlds. It was a dream of mine. So it was absolutely brilliant. I loved it.
And had you ever played in front of a crowd like that before?
No, not as big as that. I don't think so. I'm trying to think, no, because it wasn't as big as that one, the CIU final. So, no, that was the biggest crowd, I would say.
Did it affect you at all? Did you enjoy playing in front of so many people at the Lakeside?
No, I loved it. I just totally loved it. When I qualified, the photograph that's in Lakeside was taken about 2 minutes after I qualified. I was still on the roof. I was over the moon, you know. There's a big beaming smile on me. And it's still down, Lakeside. I hope I'm taking it all down, but it should still stay there for all I know.
You know, the next year, 2000, you didn't qualify for the World Championships, but you won the Welsh Open, and then later in the year, you went on to pick up the World Masters title as well.
I had a sponsor then, Alan Milford, I think it was. He sponsored Robbie Widows and Steve Coote as well. but they sort of like dropped me in 2000, January 2000, which hurt a little bit because Robbie's turned around and said, I'll never win anything. So, yeah, I went on, I won the World Masters, the Welsh Open. And that was my first big title sort of thing. Then down to the Winmow, I should have lost quarters, I should have lost in the semi, I should have lost the final. But I won them. I think Chris Mason.
Yeah.
He was like 2-0 up and 1-0 up. You know, so they were like best of three then, best of three, best of five sort of thing. And he wanted double top to take me out. I wanted 160, I took it out, and then he never saw another double. And I beat him 3-2. And same thing with Mervyn in the final. He was 2-0 up, 1-0 up, he wanted double top, takes the 160 out, and then I went through again, and it was just, like I said, I should have lost in the quarters, semi, and the final, but I came through and won it. I went over the moon.
I mean, you know, coming back from those situations must have toughened you mentally as well, knowing that, you know, it didn't matter how far you were behind in a game, you knew you could always come back and win.
At that time, I was thinking, I haven't lost the game until that last start goes in. I can still win the game until you beat me. Or, you know, until the winning dart goes in, I can still win. And that's how I used to think. I don't know how the mental process changes through the years.
You know, and then a few months later was the 2001 World Championships. You weren't seeded, but coming into the tournament, Bobby George said you were a dark horse after your World Masters win. What were your expectations going into the tournament?
Mate, I just wanted to win a set. After losing to Roland in 99, I just wanted to win a set. I would have been perfectly happy at that, winning a set. And I was playing Richie Davis. And Richie Davis at that time was, I'd never beaten him. Never, ever beaten Richie Davis. And I drew him first round. I went, oh, right. All the thing I want to do is, I just want to win a set. And I will be perfectly happy. And that were a good game. That were one of the closest games, because I think that were 3-2. And I beat Richie. Then I went on to play Mervyn, who was number one seed at the time. He won two legs.
Yeah. That one wasn't close, yeah.
No, I blitzed him. He won two legs. I beat him 3-0 and he won two legs. That were it.
That game with Marco, you narrowly missed the nine darter as well.
Yeah, yes, I did. And I missed the ball for 15 legs straight. But that 14 leg straight is still a record within BDO and PDC. It's still a record.
There was a blistering performance from yourself, and then you moved into the semis and you played Wayne Mardell. Game was a bit closer, but again, another average of over 95, and you won that one 5-3.
Yeah, I fell asleep halfway through that game, and I always watch back the video of that, and a friend of mine. Well, he played in the embassy years ago, Dennis Hicklin. I can hear him shouting in the background, come on, get your head on. And I woke up again then, and because I was sort of like falling asleep during the game. And then I heard his voice and picked me up. And then I were in the final.
And when you got to the final, you know, you were playing the defending champion, Ted Hankey. What was your relationship with Ted like at the time?
He still is brilliant, but I was, like I said in the interview afterwards, I was the last person to beat him before he was world champion. Beat him in the Winmow, but I was 5-1 up against him. I'd beaten him five times to one, so I was confident I knew I'd won that tournament at 3:30 that afternoon when I first saw Ted walk in that player's room, just by his body language. Since then, his team sort of like turned around. Ted were asking, how do I play this game? How do I play this game? How do I play against John? It's play normal. If Ted had played normally, he'd have beaten me. But he tried to slow me down, and I knew exactly what he was going to do. He was going to slow me down and everything else, but it didn't work for him.
So would you have said that he was more nervous than you going into the final?
Yes. Yes, he definitely was. Yeah. Yeah. He was confident, but he was nervous as well. It's one of them things. That sounded like a conflict of interest. He was confident but nervous. Yeah. How can you work that one out? Ted, that's how Ted is. He's full of confidence. He shows it and everything else, but it was just his body language how he walked into that room. I knew I'd won it. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, you could tell, you know, that first set of the final, Ted started with the 22, you fired in a 180, and then you took the first set by hitting Shanghai.
Yeah. Yeah. I say, Ted was just looking around at his management team, and he's just, what do I do? What do I do? Like Mervyn said, he said, he was throwing the kitchen sink at me, but it didn't affect me. It doesn't happen. If I'm in a flow and I can black out, I'm dangerous. Like I say, I used to play county games and black out. And I used to come off stage and say, what have I done? Because I go, I can't remember. You're just living in a little bubble of your own. It's brilliant. I haven't had that feeling for a long time, though.
And I mean, what was the emotion like for you when that 8 went in to secure the win 6-2?
That was my dream come true. Because I know a lot of people say I've made this up and everything else, but I remember talking to my dad, watching the darts, watching Eric Bristow winning the world championship. And I turned around with my dad and said, I'll win that trophy. And he went, yeah. I said, I'll win that trophy. So, yeah. What would it have been? It would have been about 20-year-old.
Well, I mean, I spoke to Tony David yesterday, and he was saying to me, you know, 2002, when he went to the Worlds, you know, when he went the first time, he played Andy Fordham, got beat 3-0, went back to Australia. When he came back, he sort of like you, he just wanted to win a set, you know, not get whitewashed again. But he also said he'd had like a premonition, you know, he'd had this vision, he'd said it, I'm going to win the world championship one day. You know, it was kind of nice and fitting in the sense that you won it one year and then he won it the following year.
Yeah. And all the poultices and stuff he used to come out with, and we used to call him Doctor, you know, because he knew everything about with his illness and everything else. And by all accounts, he's supposed to have had a liver transplant and cured his haemophilia. So all the best to Tony.
Yeah, no, he definitely, you know, one of the interesting things when I spoke to him yesterday was him talking about all the health issues he's had, you know, not just before he started playing, but while he was playing, and you know, and since he's retired as well. But you know, when you went back in 2002, you were the top seed. Did you feel additional pressure when you went back in 2002?
Yes, especially playing Andy Fordham, who had never ever lost in the first round of the side. It was it was phenomenal. But I beat Andy first round, and then Colin Monk did me the second round. It's weird. It's actually harder to defend. You know, you go back and it is really, really hard. I said that to Martin Adams when he won it. I turned around and he said, that was a tough game. The one against Phil Nixon.
Yeah, one of my favourite games of all time.
Which was a fantastic game. I was there. I'm privileged to watch it live. But he came off stage. He said, that was a tough game. And I said, no, it's not. I said, your next game to defend, it's your toughest. And he actually turned around and said, yes, it was. Because I think he got Phil Nixon first round or something like that. Yeah. So, but yeah, he said it is. It's the toughest game is to defend. And the way Ted went, like I say, when I beat Ted, and he defended it in the proper way in the final. Mm. So that, you know, he was a true world champion. Yeah, everybody's, well, people say you're not a true world champion, but there's only 30 people on the planet that say they've been darts world champion, BDO and PDC.
Mm.
You know, in the men, not including the women, but just in the men, there's 30 world champions. And that is some going in, what, 40-odd years, 50-odd years? Yeah.
And why do you think that, you know, coming back to defend is much harder? Is it the pressure you put on yourself or the pressure you feel from other people?
I think it's the pressure you put on yourself. But there's also, it's a bit of both. It's definitely the pressure you put on yourself, but people, the media put you under that pressure as well. You know, you're defending champion, you did this last year, you did this, that, and everything else. So, yeah, it's a bit of both.
What, you know, when you won it in 2001, you picked up £48,000. Do you remember what you spent your winnings on?
I put some double glazing in the house. I bought my wife a clothes hairer. That's all she wanted. basically, I put it away, but there's other things that went off in the background that I'd rather not talk about.
Okay. You know, when you won in 2001, that marked the start of a run of, I think it was 13 consecutive appearances for you at the Lakeside. You reached the quarters in 2004, 2009. Did the, you know, the enjoyment, the lure of playing at a World Championship, did that wear off as the years went on, or was the experience just as special every year?
No, it was just as special. Even now, I could, you know, I walk in the Lakeside and the room can be empty. And the air's back of my neck stand up, you know. That were a special place. I've not been to the O2. Why it got moved away from Lakeside, I have no idea, but that's down to politics or whatever. You know, let them do whatever they want. But basically, I retired from darts 4 years ago. I still play county, but as for tournaments, I don't do that anymore. It's too much travelling nowadays.
Mm.
It's like when I qualified in 99, we could get to 12 tournaments throughout the year. So it was like one a month. Now it's one a week.
Mm.
You know, and if it's close enough, you could get to two a week.
Mm.
You know, it's ridiculous nowadays. You know, they should just cut it all back and go back to 12.
I was going to say, when you qualified in 2016, which was the last time you got to the world, you lost 3-2 in the first round to Brian Dawson. What were the biggest differences then compared to when you first played in the World Championship, you know, 17 years earlier?
Well, I'd gone through the qualifiers.
Hmm.
I'd gone through the qualifiers to get to that one in 2016. So I had done the full circuit. Like I said, I was basically retiring, you know, setting myself up to retire, but it was still enjoyable. I missed double top to beat him, actually, but it still goes on. Nowadays, he beat me at Lakeside, so yeah, whatever. He still hasn't been a world champion, so that's his fault.
And, you know, how would you rate the quality of the field, you know, then compared to when you first started?
Yes, there was a lot of big names. When I won the Worlds, there were, you know, like Mervyn, Raymond, Kevin Payne, you name it, they were in there, they were all in there. Alright, some of them were gone PDC, some of them were still BDO, but, you know, it was absolutely amazing. When in 2016, it seemed, no disrespect to the guys, but it seemed a weaker field.
Hmm.
You know, yeah, you've qualified for the Worlds. You're brilliant, absolutely fantastic. But yeah, the standards seem to have dropped off for some reason. No idea why.
For me personally, I first really started watching darts 2007, and it was the Martin Adams Phil Nixon final that hooked me as a fan. And I remember later that year watching the World Masters on the BBC, and you hit the nine darter against Martin Phillips. And that was, you know, I think the only other nine darter that had been hit on the BBC by a BDO player, you know, since Paul Lim back in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, that were amazing, was that. Last leg to win, well, the nine darter to win the game. It was unbelievable. I was just throwing darts. Like I say, I set off with 180s in about four or five legs. When two of them go back to back, you think, you know, you're on the further nine. It's just going, please. But that double 12, I was shaking like a leaf. But that was actually 2 months to the day that I lost my mum. So yeah, I lost my mum in on the 17th of August 2007. I think that was the 17th of October. Right, the nine darter. So yeah, I dedicated that to my mum anyway. So yeah,
I was going to say that must have, you know, meant an awful lot to you.
Yeah, it did. It did. And then I played Tony O'Shea the following game. I think I was the first and the second leg. I hit the 170. So, yeah.
And I mean, you say you retired, but a couple of years ago, 2018, at the Windmill, you know, you made it all the way through to, I think it was the last 32. You beat Martin Adams, and then you lost to Glenn Durrant. So, you know, the ability was still clearly there.
I should have beaten Glenn. I had darts to double, but didn't put it away. But yeah, well, the Windmill. I thought that was a British Open or something.
Yeah, no, that was a World Masters.
All right. My memory's getting worse, honestly.
You know, when you look at the World Championship, you know, I mentioned before, you picked up the 48,000. Could you empathise this year when Wayne Warren won it and only got 23,000?
Yeah, I'm going to step backwards in my book, you know. Yeah, I can appreciate money-wise with the BDOs in financial difficulty and all this lot, but I'd have expected to win 100 grand, be world champion. I would have fully been expecting that 100 grand cheque. But I don't know. I wasn't privy to the contracts beforehand. I wasn't privy to anything that... And I'm still not, because people haven't said anything afterwards. You know, what was actually said to them before they started playing. You know, if it had been... Right, if nothing had been said, then I would have expected 100 grand. But if something's been said, then, you know... You can't complain afterwards.
I mean, I was there on the finals day doing some media, and I was, you know, sat in the players' lounge talking to Nick Kenny and a couple of the others before the final actually started. And there was quite a weird atmosphere in the room that no one seemed to actually know what they were playing for. And, you know, there was a genuine concern that it might well end up being the last BDO World Championships.
Yeah, well... I'm not sure whether it might be. I'm no idea. I hope it isn't, but it might go under the WEF banner now. So that it'll still carry on that way. But I don't think it'll be under the BDO banner. Both the Worlds or the Masters. So, yeah. I hope they carry on. I hope I get an invite to being a previous champion, but I'd like to go on. Well, it could go anywhere in the world now. If WDF take it over, it could go anywhere in the world. So, let's wait and see what happens.
And one final thing I want to touch on is, in 2015, you... went and tried, you know, the PDC. You went to Q School. What was that experience like?
Absolutely brilliant. If anybody's got the talent, go and do it. Like I said to Pete Manley, it's darts set up by dart players for dart players. It is second to none. You're playing in, it's like playing in a morgue. Honestly, you're not allowed to cough, you know, like clap. You hit a 9 darter in chair, you get fined. You know, you take a big check out, you go, yeah, you'll get fined. But it's absolutely brilliant because you can concentrate on what you're doing. There's no distractions. Because if anybody in the crowd would shout out or out like that, told to leave. But yeah, it's fantastic. It's just brilliant. I'd love to be able to rely on the shoulder and give it a go again. I would go again, but with the shoulder being as it is, I can't justify the £450. Mm. You know, I'd love to get on the Pro Tour, but I don't know. I keep mentioning the shoulder and that, but it's there and. One day it's okay, next day it's all over the place. So that's basically why I retired.
What is the issue with your shoulder, if you don't mind me asking?
I don't know. I've got to have physio every 4 weeks with it, and that just keeps it on top of it. If I don't have my physio, then I'm in pain when I throw a dart. When I move my arm, I'm in pain, so... I'm like, hoping this lockdown don't last much longer. So I can get my physio for it. And I've got a trapped nerve in my neck as well. Mm. And the x-ray that was taken, it's on the right-hand side. And they put it down to looking at me right all my life.
Mm.
You know, because I'm right-handed. So that's another issue. There's a trapped nerve in my neck as well, so... That and the shoulder, it goes all over the place.
Did you?
Just before the lockdown, I played in Super League on a Sunday night, 811 average. You know, it's ridiculous, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'd definitely like to be able... Well, I wouldn't want, you know, the trapped nerve or, an awkward shoulder that's giving you a lot of pain. But if I could still, you know... The Remote Darts League, you consistently averaged over 75 or over 80. I struggle to average over 40, and I'm, you know, in theory, fully functioning. So, you know, I'd be immensely grateful if I could play that well.
Well, I enjoy the Remote Darts League, and like I said, you know, playing on my own setup, so there were no qualms with that. It's your setup, it's what you practice on.
Mm.
But even still, they went all over the place. It was just like, somebody saying game on, and it just went all over the place. Practicing, I'm hitting, I were hitting 180s for fun and everything else. Game on, pressure. I was sweating in my own. Okay, I'm sweating. It was brilliant. I loved it. But going back to the 9 darters and stuff like that, the best one, and it wasn't, the video had just gone down. Otherwise, it'd been it. I had a 9 darter for England in Sligo in the Six Nations, where you only play one leg, come off, go back on again. You know, somebody else goes up. So there's a 4-man squad, and you take turns. I hit a 9 darter. I had 3 darts practice, and I hit a 9 darter against good mate Dave Smith Hayes from Wales. And he only threw 6 darts. You know, so that, like I said, the video had just gone down just before we played that game. Otherwise, that'd have been another one on YouTube and a moment of history, because nobody has hit one in a one-leg format like that.
I mean, that's something very, very special. When, you know, talking about going back to Q School quickly, when you know the decision to go in 2015, was that because you knew you were looking to retire and to wind things down, and you wanted to give it a go, or?
It was basically because the BDO tour was getting too many. It was 1 week. It was getting too many, and basically it was £500 a weekend. You know, if you averaged it out, it's about £500 a weekend. That's to get there, your entry fee, your food, your hotels, travel, you know, £500. I was only going to go to Wigan or Barnsley. Hang on a minute. I can get to Wigan in an hour and a half. I can get to Barnsley in half an hour. I can commute, basically, and not spend £500. All right, it was costing you £50 or £50 to enter. I think when I entered Q school, I think it was £250 or £250 or something like that. So it was a no-brainer to me.
And do you, looking back, wish you'd gone over to the PDC earlier, or do you not have any regrets about leaving it until 2015?
Career, 56 caps for England. I did enjoy that, even though there were no money attached to it. The pride and the honour of playing with the people that I played with, it was second to none. You know, played with part of Andy Ford and won the World Cup pairs. Part of Martin Adams won Europe Cup, World Cup pairs. Teammate of Mervyn King. Fantastic, you know, brilliant, loved it.
And I mean, playing with those guys, playing in World Cups, Europe Cups, going all around the world, that'll give you memories that you wouldn't have necessarily got anywhere else.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen the world by playing darts. If I hadn't played darts, I wouldn't have seen half the places that I have done. The furthest it's taken me is Kuala Lumpur, and I love that, the World Cup in 2001. You know, we've been all over the place, mainly around Europe, but the furthest I went was like Kuala Lumpur. That was lovely.
And just another one, you say if the shoulder is good, will you definitely look at doing Q School one more time?
Yes. Yeah, I would try and do it again. I'm going to try and get my shoulder right for January and give it a go.
Well, I wish you all the best with it, and I thank you, you know, massive thank you to you for giving me so much your time this afternoon. It's been really nice to talk to you about your World Championship win and all sorts of other things. So thank you very much, John, for your time.
No problem. Thank you for bringing back the memories. I loved every minute of it. Thank you.
Even if I did remind you that you started in 1999.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we're still good friends, me and Robert, anyway.
Well, thank you very much, John.
No problem, thank you.